Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer.
Amen.
I heard Joe telling our visitor today, by the way, another welcome, official welcome now to you, that we've got a new priest and we're breaking him in. And that is so, I'm serious, that is so accurate.
Taking a while.
And I appreciate y'all's grace and mercy being patient with me because I'm a slow learner. But once I get it down, then I just take off. So, as I rode over this morning, trying my best not to exceed the speed limit, it came to mind of my ancestor who was a Methodist minister, itinerant minister, and I was thinking about the Sunday mornings. I did pass one highway patrolman. But I think about Sunday mornings when itinerant preachers are traveling all over the state, indeed probably all over the nation, going from one spot to another. So I was thinking about Tapley Moody. And then my thoughts went to Dr. A.D. Shoemaker, who was my wife's grandfather, so I guess he would be my step-grandfather, who was a chaplain in World War II, a major in the U.S. Army, and served his tenure there at Burma, in the Far East, where he ministered to soldiers in the hospital. So I think about all these things, which sort of bring us into the message for today. What are these men doing, and women, in some places? They're ministering. They're being the good shepherd. They're bringing the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the masses, and that's what we're called to do. And that's why I'm here today, and I'm reminded as well that as you break me in, to be mindful that I'm trying as much as a traditionalist that I am, I'm not so traditional that I become a Pharisee. So I pray that you will understand and have more grace with me as we develop as a church body and a church family. And I believe that God has his hand on this congregation. In the depths of my soul and my heart, I fully believe that we're at the threshold of growth, and it's just exciting to be a part of this. Now, there are about a dozen sermons or homilies that all ministers want to give to their congregations. And actually, this is one of them. The Good Shepherd, like the feeding of the 5,000 or the Sermon on the Mount, is one of those all-time favorites. Now, although Christians immediately recognize the Shepherd as Jesus Christ, those new to the faith may ask, who is the Good Shepherd? In Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible, there are 83 references to shepherd and the Holy Scriptures. In the American Heritage Dictionary, shepherd is a noun defined as one who herds, guards, and cares for sheep, or one who cares for a group of people, as does a minister or teacher. So here we have two definitions not altogether different from each other, except one is taking care of animals and the other is taking care of people. But before we address the question of Good Shepherd, let us examine the writer of this gospel. St. John is one of the original 12 apostles. He is the brother of James and one of the two sets of brothers who were disciples, the other set being Andrew and St. Peter. St. Mark writes in chapter 3 that James and John were sons of Zebedee and were surnamed Boanerges by Jesus Christ, which means in Aramaic, the sons of thunder. It is universally believed that Christ and the apostles spoke in Aramaic, therefore the Aramaic description. John is the apostle mentioned in chapter 13, whom Jesus loved. He is also the one who we read in the crucifixion narrative in John 19. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home to care for her. St. John contributed 5 books in the New Testament, which include his gospel, 3 epistles, and the book of Revelation, which is generally considered to have been written on the island of Patmos, where he was living in exile. Many of the apostles planted churches in countries that bordered the Mediterranean Sea. They became known as the first bishops or shepherds of their territories. They administered and shepherded their flocks in towns and areas that became known as dioceses or sees. For instance, James became the bishop of Jerusalem. John became the bishop of Ephesus. while Peter became the Bishop of Rome. Of the four Gospels, the first three, a little bit of history here, theological history, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the Synoptic Gospels. They are given this name because they have many similarities, and each gives their personal account of Christ's earthly life, such as the manger scene or his many parables and miracles. It is thought that St. Mark was the first to write the Gospel. Then was followed St. Matthew, who wrote his Gospel with a Jewish adherence to the Mosaic Law. St. Luke, the only Gentile in the group, as well as a physician, wrote his Gospel that appeals to the Gentiles, us. Of the four Gospels, St. John is the exception. The Synoptic Gospels, or authors, wrote about the humanity of Jesus Christ, while John wrote about the divinity of Jesus Christ. Now, there is a parallel between clergy and the Good Shepherd, as with the descriptions of the 12 apostles and their bishoprics, or sees. As the church developed in the first three centuries, it organized its clergy into bishops, priests, and deacons to administer the large quantity of work. Our spiritual shepherd and the church is our bishop. He is obligated to our Savior Jesus Christ for our spiritual well-being. All the apostles were early bishops and gave their lives for the church. They were spiritual shepherds. Ultimately, the good shepherd is Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd because he is the one willing to give his life for his sheep. He does so because he's not, as the lesson said, a hired hand. He knows his sheep and they know him. He is, as we read in the dictionary, one who herds his sheep to green pastures, one who cares so much for his sheep that he is willing to sacrifice his life, and he is the one who protects his sheep from all harm, including the wolf or carnivorous animals, or in our case, the threat of the devil. He is our Savior against the evil of this world, and he can protect us from sin and give us strength through the Holy Spirit to avoid temptation. This Easter season, as we celebrate Christ Jesus' resurrection and his conquering of sin on the cross, let us also celebrate God's love for mankind as exhibited through his Son. God gave his only Son as a propitiation for our sins. Only Christ Jesus' blood was sufficient a price for God to accept for our salvation. No other currency would do. We celebrate Easter for 50 days, which represents the days Christ continued his ministry on earth after his crucifixion before ascending into heaven to sit on the throne at the right hand of the Father. These 50 days are not recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke to the extent that they are recorded in the Gospel of John. St. John records many more events of the post-crucified Christ on earth, and he begins by recording the first sighting of Christ Jesus by Mary Magdalene in the tomb. St. John later records Christ being seen on the road to Emmaus, where perhaps unbeknownst to him, he who is unnamed and his scribe Cleopas give an oral summary of the crucifixion and the events of those following 3 days. The later days, Christ appears to his disciples, where we are also given an account of the apostle Thomas, who questioned whether he was Christ. This is the doubting Thomas account we briefly referred to in last week's homily. In another passage, Christ is seen on the banks of the Sea of Tiberias, while the disciples were fishing in a boat. They had fished all night with no success. Christ instructs them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat, where they hauled in 153 fish. Another theological net I'm going to tell you here. This number, 153, represents the number of nations on earth, and is therefore symbolic of Christ's instructions to his disciples to take his message to the four corners of the earth, to preach the good news to all nations. Excuse me. As our good shepherd, who is always watching over us, we continue to celebrate this Easter season the benevolent act that Christ gave his life on the cross at Calvary for his people. Certainly he was not a hired hand, for they would have given us over to the wolf or the carnivorous animals or to the devil. Shepherds care for their flocks, providing protection and sustenance for their well-being. In translation, we are the sheep, and Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Weekly, if not daily, our priests, who are designated by their bishop, are to feed their flocks the divine word of God and to minister to their needs of their parishioners. In John chapter 21, after Christ has broken bread with his disciples, he asked Simon Peter, who we remember denied him three times, "Do you love me more than these?" meaning the other disciples. And Simon Peter answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do." Christ answers, "Then feed my lambs." A second time Christ asks, "Do you love me?" Again Simon Peter answered, "Yes." And in response then, "Tend my sheep." A third time Christ asks Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" And again Simon says, "Yes." And Christ said to them, "Feed my sheep." This is the command of Christ to his bishops and clergy. We are to feed the lambs of our parishioners with the good news of the gospel. A good shepherd feeds his flock the bread of life and protects them from evil. Later in the gospel lesson, Christ tells us that "I know my sheep and they know me, even as my Father in heaven knows me." If Christ knows us and we know him, then our Father in heaven also knows us. Together we are one in Christ Jesus. And the last portion of this lesson, we are reminded of another fold. Christ came to minister to his flock, the Israelites, who are God's chosen people. The Jewish people, looking for a Messiah, a political leader, dismissed Jesus and gave him up. They did not accept him as God's son, nor as their Savior. Yet the Gentiles, our descendants, our forebears, did accept Christ as our Lord and Savior and as our spiritual leader. We then are the other fold, the other flock. His voice, the Master's voice, we do know, just as the Canaanite woman, a Gentile who believed in Jesus and was saved, as was her demon-possessed daughter. Her remarks to Christ, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs under the Master's table," rings audible in our minds routinely when we meditate daily on Christ Jesus. John, Mark, Matthew, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, and many others who were all Jews, believed in Christ Jesus when their nation, the house of Israel, was rejecting Christ. They, as are many, are exceptions to the rule. But as St. Luke, the Hellenist and Gentile, who was the only non-Jewish writer of all the books in the Bible, also believed in Christ Jesus. Again, the rules does not apply 100%, for there are many Gentiles who sadly then, as now, do not believe in Christ Jesus. For the Gentiles who do believe in this Jewish rabbi, some modern-day theologians confer on them the title of New Jew, because although we do not share in Jesus' heritage, we do share in his spiritual heritage. These same theologians also claim that the Gentiles, some believe, are the lost tribe, descendants of Cain or Esau. In closing, as one flock, we have been scattered, not necessarily by the wolf alone, but indeed by ourselves. We are all individuals seeking our own expression as a way to worship God, but we should be aware and careful of the wolf in sheep's clothing. In the Interpreter's Bible, we read that there is not one type of service which all Christian people should adopt or practice. However, according to B.H. Streeter, it may be that the line of advance for the church of today is not to imitate the forms, but to recapture the spirit of the primitive church. We Orthodox Anglican Catholics represent the primitive church. There is but one flock and one shepherd. St. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 4 that here is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And there is one army consisting of many regiments of the one living God. Seek the good shepherd in your daily worship, and he will grant you peace in a lost world, and he will love and care for you in a lonely world. He will protect you in a dangerous world that is out to devour and consume us. Yet we have been made consumers by this world, but consume the good fruits of the Spirit, not the bad fruit of self-indulgence that often leaves us empty and leads us astray. As we contemplate in an abbreviated Psalm 23, "The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want, for surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."